me outside. It's truly a great day that God has blessed us with. Another breath of air, another time that our heart beats, and we need to be very grateful for that. One of the things that I personally have struggled with, and a thought that I wanted to bring forth to you today, is, are we as Christians growing too comfortable in our lives? The longer we live our lives in this world, we tend to get too comfortable. We tend to lose our drive and our focus on what God wants us to do and what He wants us to be. So today I want us to study together and become more aware of things that maybe we have become and grown too comfortable with. When you look up the definition of the word comfortable, and what I've done is I just got on Google and I typed in definition of the word. What had come up was physically relaxed, free from constraint, free from stress or pain, free from hardships. Some of the words that are synonyms of that same word comfortable is cozy, snug, agreeable, relaxed, secure, safe, unworried, contented, and happy. I know that there are times in life when we do seek to find some ways of comfort and to be comfortable. When our loved ones or ourselves are sick or injured, we definitely pray for their comfort. And I believe with all my heart that God wants us to pray and to seek for those things from Him. We have several examples in the Bible where great heroes of faith are praying for comfort, praying for peace. What I'm wanting to discuss today is being too comfortable or at ease with things in our lives that the Bible says that are wrong. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What I'd like to talk about for just a few minutes is some of the things that we physically, things in this world that we can almost get too comfortable with. You buy a new car. You want to keep that car looking new forever. But eventually, you'll lean in it. Eventually, your kids will spill something in it. It'll get dirty. We'll have a week like we did this last week where it rained just about every day. You weren't able to wash it. Soon you get comfortable with the clutter, the mess, the dirty car. And it's no longer that new car that you had at the beginning. When athletes train their bodies for a sport, they sometimes have to constantly change their training or they won't improve in their performance. Their bodies will become too comfortable with the routine, and I believe that's called plateauing. People get too comfortable in the spot that they're in at that time. Or how about our eating habits? In our physical body sometimes, we may grow too comfortable in the way that we've always eaten or the way that we've taken care of ourselves. When we change those habits for the better, we realize just how lax we had gotten in our eating, our exercise, our health. after you have become accustomed to, perhaps, new eating habits, you might treat yourself once in a while to that old favorite meal. And it's then when you can't finish that meal that you realize how far you have come from the old you. And you realize how comfortable you were at that time. Job security. There are those that might have high seniority at work. They feel like they don't have to put forth as much effort as others that are there and haven't been there as long. They might know and feel that they won't get fired. Or how about students in school? They may feel comfortable with what they know. They might feel comfortable and familiar enough with what they're studying or what classes they're in. But then the teacher might bring a pop quiz, and perhaps you weren't quite prepared. That student wasn't quite prepared. They had grown comfortable in the knowledge that they had, but they didn't keep studying. How about our driving habits? When we drive the same stretch of road day in and day out, we sometimes get too comfortable with that drive. Sometimes we can zone out, almost driving on autopilot, without even realizing what had happened in between point A and B. Of course, the danger in that is once you get too comfortable with that drive and you don't realize the things going on, you disregard street signs, stoplights, stop signs, and more importantly, the other people on the road. So now that we've talked about physical, worldly things, let's talk about some spiritual applications of our lives where we perhaps have grown too comfortable. We can get accustomed very easily to the things that go around us in the world. This can be a stumbling block of us trying to resist personal temptations. For example, there are some folks that I work directly with at work that they decide to use bad language in what feels to be and what seems to be a lot of the time. And after hearing these sorts of words day in and day out, it starts to get stuck in my head. And even worse, I find myself tempted to use those words and I really don't even mean to. Now, there's not very much that I can do to control the mouths of these adults that I work with. But I can control what my mind perceives as normal, what my mind perceives as right. And I can and have brought attention to those people of the words that they're saying. The sinful language of those around us should disgust us, as it does God. And God wants us to never grow comfortable with the sinful actions of the world. As a Christian, we can trick ourselves into thinking that everyone that might be living their sinful life, the way that they're living, they're doing well and might even be doing better than us financially. We have to realize that we're not living for this lifetime. Let's not trick ourselves. They might be physically rewarded with things that we can't because we're honest, we're righteous, we're going to do the right thing. Our reward is in heaven. And that should far outweigh anything that we could obtain here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. Paul reminds us in saying, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient or short-lived, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And again, that was 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Sometimes, when we're living the way we're supposed to, we may feel that we are being afflicted, as this verse says. But please know this, that that's not what this verse is discussing. The things the Christians are enduring were far worse than not having what our neighbor has, not being able to go and do some of the fun things, not being able to be with other people at certain times of the week. Please don't let Satan convince you that living the way that God wants us to live should be a burden that we have to endure. For we should see it as a privilege and an honor to bring glory to God in our everyday lives, every moment that we get. When we're at home, or at least not with other Christians, we may begin to believe that we can get away with what I will call our private sins. No one knows about them. But the Bible does give us example and proof that God knows everything. For instance, in Acts chapter 5, and a lot of you probably know where I'm going with this, Ananias and Sapphira, they had sinned without anyone knowing, by lying to the apostles about the amount of money that they made on the land that they sold. The apostles didn't know about their lie. But who did? God knew about their lie. In fact, he struck them dead. We read in Matthew chapter 4 of Christ being tempted. The devil tempted Christ by using his own hunger. How easy would it have been for him to give in? Because he hadn't eaten. In 40 days and 40 nights. But he knew of the glory awaiting him if he obeyed his Father. Unfortunately, we find it hard sometimes to resist personal temptations within a matter of hours or even minutes. So again, don't fool yourself into thinking that your private sins are unseen or unknown. Sometimes Christians may come to worship, mouth the words of a song, sit through the lesson given, but never give one thought as to how to apply it to their lives. And the Bible warns us about this in James. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Again, that's James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the works, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Is this what happens in your life after worship? Are you getting up after hearing a sermon from Brother Steve or someone else and going and getting busy in the work that God has planned us to do? Are you immediately letting the Word make changes in your life? Or do you simply say, man, that was a good lesson, but that's the last you ever think about it? It's not an easy thing to change your daily lifestyle, folks. It's hard. It's uncomfortable to change the way that we live in our days here on earth, especially when we have become too comfortable in it. What I'd like to do is give somewhat of a visual illustration of what we've been talking about so far. Let's pretend here for a moment that you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to win $10 million. To win this $10 million, what you have to do is you have to have a perfect black square in your front yard for a whole year. A lot of you are saying, done, got this. As the weeks go by, your square color might start to get worn from the weather and other elements that go on around. And eventually the square begins to look gray. So now you have a perfect square, but it's gray and it's not black. But you keep doing what you're doing because you haven't really noticed it. You haven't really noticed the changes that have happened because you see this thing every day. You've become comfortable with the changes. So after a few months, the corners start to wear down. So now, from that square, you have a perfect gray octagon. Remember that this is the same object that you were told to put in your front yard to win the money. But you haven't done anything to protect it from the effects of the world around it. You have not maintained its perfect prize-winning properties. So let's fast forward to the end of that year's time. What started out to be a perfect black square that you needed to win that $10 million, it has now become a white circle. Now, as simple as that may sound and as silly as it might be, the point I'm trying to make here is this. It looks nothing like what you started out with, and there is no way you can win that prize. And in the same way, a Christian may start out doing everything that is right and pleasing to God, living a righteous life. But over time, we can and will become comfortable with this life and the things going on, and eventually, we might be doing some of the right things, all along growing more and more comfortable until our lives don't look anything like it should. No matter how long we have been a Christian, we need to maintain our zeal unto death. We have to remember that this world is not the place to find comfort and happiness. We need to look to God of heaven to find our place of rest, our place of comfort. Heaven is the place to seek our comfort. Sometimes Christians may not feel like singing, praising God, being with other Christians, and living the Christian life that we should. But think about this. When we get to heaven, what does the Bible say we'll be doing? In Revelation 15, 3 through 4, Revelation 15, 3 through 4, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. O King of the saints, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come to worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. If you want to, just keep your finger there. We'll be coming back there to Revelation in just a few minutes. Now, the they in that text in particular was talking about the angels and those victorious over the beast, and that is Satan. Also, there are some Christians who might come to worship on a regular basis. But as soon as the final amen is said, it seems that they have already got one foot out the door. Now, I'm not talking about those who might not be feeling well. I'm not talking about those that have somewhere that they need to go, something that they need to take care of. I'm talking about those who would rather spend their time elsewhere and with other people. They don't enjoy spending their time with their brethren at the building, let alone their homes or other settings. But think again, who does the Bible say will be in heaven? Christians. The very people we're avoiding here on earth could be the ones that we're sharing our eternal life with, praising our God and Creator. Now, I think we all know that we're not really going to be saying to ourselves, oh, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so, you know, I do want to make that clear. In Philippians 3, in verse 20, it reads, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 12, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." So we need to be mindful of our personal situations. Don't grow weary and lose focus of our goal of heaven. We also need to constantly be learning and examining our own lives to be sure that we're doing what we can and what we're expected to do for the work of the Lord. In closing, I want to leave you with this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." We need to be sure that we're using God's word to measure if we're doing things right. We need to be seeking God for comfort. This lesson today was directed more toward those that are already Christians. But I do want to take an opportunity to extend an invitation to those who are not. God has made a plan of salvation for you. That plan is to hear the word of God, to believe in the gospel, to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized for the remission of sins, and to live faithfully unto death. If there is anyone here that would like to take an opportunity to make their lives right, I would beg that you do that. For those that are already that have already been buried in Christ, but maybe you've grown too comfortable in life and you've lost your focus on the things that you need to do, or maybe the neglect of things that you should be doing. You've gotten too comfortable in a spiritual routine, and we urge you to also make your lives right. Just one more thing until we close. These things that I brought forth to you today are things that have been on my mind, things that some that I've had to work on myself. It's not very comfortable talking about it. And I understand that there are a lot of you here that we don't know each other very well. And I can take the blame for that. But what I do know is this, is that we all have the same goal. We want to go to heaven. And I want you all I want for you all to have that same goal, and for us to not grow comfortable in the ways of our lives, even though being comfortable is easy. You can talk to anyone who's ever come forward, for anyone that's been baptized, it's not necessarily a comfortable thing to go through. For those of you who might be thinking that I need to come forward, what I'd like to do now is ask the elders just to be ready. I'll be up front to welcome anyone that does come forward. But for the elders here, if you would please be ready to talk to those who would like to come forward. I haven't talked to you about that before, so I'd like to just ask you that now. Well, anyway, with that being said, if there's anything that we can do to help you make your life right with God, please come forward now as we stand and sing.